Welcome to the show. We hope you have a blast. Thanks for making time for the Dealer Talk Podcast.
What up? Welcome back to another season of the Dealer Talk Podcast. Very, very excited to kick things off here for season 5. Before we do that, quick shout out to my man, Jason Harris. Thank you for the cool merch and for the cool setup here with the Strategy Mob. Quick shout out to all the captains. Really excited and enjoying being a part of this this effort. So thank you, Jason, for everything that you do. And I couldn't be more excited to kick things off, man. It's been a couple of months since we did a session. And I couldn't think of a better way to start things than talk about digital retail, right? With everything going on in the industry and the landscape of today, I think that it's a great conversation for us to have. And like I said, best way for me to start season 5. I have an amazing guest. This person is not only somebody that's in the automotive industry, doing the deal, owner of multiple dealerships, but is one of the founders of WebBuy, one of the hottest digital retailing tools in the market right now. So without further ado, let's kick things off and welcome Mr. Steve Sabawa. Steve, what's up, man? How are you?
That's wonderful. Yeah, thanks, Herb, for having me on the show. It's been a very interesting year for car guys. You know, it's been a roller coaster with COVID and having to reorganize our team back in the dealerships. But it's been, I think it's been good for everybody. We've cleaned up our activities. Gross profits are huge and our inventories are clean. And we're taking care of the essential business that it is, which is parts and service and sales for the car business. So extremely blessed to be where we're at. And we're looking forward to a great 2021.
Right on, man. Yeah, for sure. Definitely tons of opportunity right now. It's crazy how positively impacted COVID has been for the automotive industry. So I definitely want to get your take on that. But before we get into the weeds of this deal, kick us off with your background, man. I want people to really understand how rooted you are in the automotive industry.
Well, when I was 29 years old, I just got out of a real estate bad deal. And I moved to Phoenix, Arizona, living in my brother-in-law's home. And of all things, my wife asked me to go get a job. So I went and got a job selling cars and at a Nissan store in Phoenix, Arizona. And it's by far the best thing that I ever did. And learned how to sell, finance, sales management, GSM, GM over the next 6 years down in Phoenix. And then my guy that had started within the car business said, hey, let's go buy a car dealership. I said, well, how are we going to do that? And before you knew it, we actually owned a car dealership up in Billings, Montana. We moved our families quite a bit north and in a beautiful country, Montana. And it's been nothing but great. So we're able to buy a very small percentage of a General Motors store. And 5 years later, had it paid off. Then we bought another GM store, another Chrysler store. And then since that time period, we've done Mercedes, VW, Kia, GMC, Cadillac, and we've been very blessed in the car business.
Yeah, man, that's exactly why I wanted to have somebody like you on the show, because of, you know, one of the premise, I don't know if it's a premise of the show, but one of the foundations of the show is having people in the industry that in one shape, form or another, did I say that correct? You know what I'm saying, right?
Yes.
Have been a part of the automotive industry, and you definitely fit the bill. And you know, I'm excited to have your wisdom in here, not just because of what we're going to talk about, but just because you're a, you know, through and through car guy. And so I really appreciate you being here, man. Let's kind of kick things off with just the current state, right? You know, COVID obviously threw a curveball for a lot of us, but in a way it's been positive, you know, for the automotive industry. You know, record months, a lot of dealerships are holding gross. Obviously, used car sales have gone up. Not to say that there aren't challenges; there definitely is. But I also think that there's been some upside. How are you seeing things?
Well, the first great thing that happened with COVID was the federal government came in and helped us small business guys with the PPP money, the Paycheck Protection Program, and that was a nice boost to us. And I think it gave us all the car dealers confidence not to let our people go, have confidence it's going to come back. And it did. It took about a month and a half, but then people started coming back in our showrooms. And then our web buy product, and including with other digital retailing products, were able to allow the dealer to communicate with the consumers that did not want to come in and risk it. So we were actually able to get that conduit out there, that safe, remote, secure way of buying a car out there into the communities. And I think that helped us. I think that was a big bump. That was a 10 to 20% bump that we're not used to. And then, of course, the factory shut down for a couple months, being closed on the COVID deal, which created a scarcity. And then such our gross profits went up per copy because of that. There weren't as many cars on our lot. Customers wanted to buy, and they were willing to pay the money. So the gross profit going up, the COVID scare. And then I think it also made us go back and look at how we did business and kind of cleaned up our act. In other words, we went into our facilities and cleaned them up from a sanitation standpoint and make sure that they were a safe, secure place. We had to train all of our employees, including back in service and parts. They handle a lot of cars, and they had to learn how to do it the correct way. So I think the community responded well, the car buying community and servicing, and our employees did the same thing. So it's been a great run, and now our lots are starting to come back with more inventory, which is great. And we'll see what this fourth quarter has for us.
Right on, man. No, I totally agree that especially for the dealers that kind of acted quick. They definitely set themselves up to succeed. You know, I know a lot of dealers that were hurting there longer because they, they shut all their marketing down and they just went into preservation mode maybe a little bit too soon. And so I think for that opened up opportunities for the ones that were consistent in their presence. And then plus all the things that you mentioned, I think that has really helped. So I wanted to get your perspective on the leadership side. You know what I mean? Because we haven't recorded for a couple of months, and one of the things that was really that I was hearing a lot back in March or in April was this idea that the industry was forever changed, right? Because of this situation, are you buying into that philosophy? Do you think that that's true? And if so, what has changed? The in-store experience, the digital experience, both? Like, how do you see that?
I personally believe we've been changed forever. And let me explain why. There's actually technology available now that can actually digitally retail a car, which that hasn't been up until just recent. So consumers actually tried it, they liked it, and the dealer saw it actually happening. So all the people that have been doing deals traditionally for the last 50 years, game changer. So I can see, and then not only that, you look at Carvana and how much money they're spending on a daily basis. CarMax sells all their cars digitally. Tesla sells their cars digitally. And now you got Vroom out there and Shift. So you got about 1.5 to 2 million cars a year being sold digitally right now, not by new car dealers, the franchise dealers, but by everybody else. They're stealing business, about 6 deals every month off of each one of my stores. So we can't let that continue on. So we have to give the consumer the way they would like to do it also, which is digitally, as well as the traditional way. So it depends on the person. You offer traditional for those people, and then the other ones go digital. And I think that's the difference. I'd say over half the car dealers now can sell a car digitally, where before COVID, it was probably 20%. So it's been a big uptake as far as dealers jumping in the digital. Big problem there is that not many digital products can actually sell a car. You know, out of the 10 that I'm aware of, WebBuy is the only one that I'm aware of that actually digitally retails a car all the way through with no holes and with no humans. So it kind of depends what you call digital retailing. Is it an engagement tool, or is it actually something that where the consumer at 11 o'clock at night can buy one?
Yeah. So let's talk about that, because, full disclosure, I've obviously seen your platform, and we were actually talking about signing you guys up with one of the stores, one of the groups that I work with. And so we're in the process of that. But I've seen a lot of other alternatives. I've sold them, right? When I worked for Cox Automotive, we had a digital retailing platform back in those days. And to me, all the ones that I've seen it's always been more of a lead generating type of a widget and with a lot of friction, right? And we've actually talked about this more on the business side of things as we've, we've kind of connected to, with this project that we're working on. And the reason I say that is because, you know, like you, what you just said, like it doesn't offer customers the opportunity to truly retail their vehicle online. It's more of, hey, here's your payment, your trade and all those things. But when the customer goes into the dealership, there's a lot of disconnect. And so that creates issues. Do you think that most, you know, aside from WebBuy, just digital retailing as a whole, do you think that it's been fully cooked? Do you think that it wasn't, you know, like it's great that it's kind of evolved, but it wasn't really where it needed to be. And COVID has kind of accelerated that, you know, kind of making it what it is today.
COVID has thrown, the gas on the fire, right? So it really forced the issue with car dealers to come good. Because, you know, people in Jersey, car dealers in Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, California, they couldn't sell a car in the showroom. So they reached out in a big way to all the digital retailing tools and said, help me out. Yeah. Now, some tools helped them out 50% of the way, some 75%, and our tool goes 100%. So it's better off that they had something in there than nothing, okay? And then the consumer started getting a taste of things, and some of, you know, they could move along in the process. Wherever they got dropped off at, you know, the dealership reached out with a human to help them through the process. So digitally, it's a whole lot better for the consumer. And now we can communicate and sell a car anywhere, anytime, 24/7. So digital retailing is definitely moving forward.
Right on. No, I like that. And I want to develop that a little bit because that's one of my biggest pet peeves, as I've mentioned to you in the past, with digital retailing. A lot of the times it appears on the website as a buy online feature, right? And right. Customers engage with that, but it's not really buy online. And the reason I say that is because it's not like a Carvana experience where the customer actually waits at home and that vehicle is delivered to them. The expectation is that customer still has to go to the dealership. And that, again, opens up the opportunities for discrepancies. And so, and then the experience just gets kind of muddled in that whole setup. Why can't we do it? Steve, why can't we sell a car? Carvana does it. Why can't we do it as the dealership community? Cause we would listen, here's how I see it. There's people that want to buy like that. I totally get it. And I know that it's the future, but when we don't offer that experience, I think what we're doing is we're hindering ourselves because there's 10 to 20%, let's say, of deals in your market right now that would go that route, which means you would end up selling more cars because you would sell those cars that customers don't want to go to the dealership at all. And then you would still sell the traditional customer that wants to go to the dealership. They want to have the in-person experience. They want to test drive the car, all those things. Why can't we do it?
Well, you're 100% correct on how you're analyzing that. So the reason why we can't do it right now is that the OEMs are getting involved and they're trying to tell you how to do the digitally retail a car, which is really an issue right now. You have factory people building applications that do not understand the 163 things that we do in the dealership on a daily basis to sell a car. And you have to put those 163 things in the digital retailing product and the process so that the dealership sells it the correct way, a customer responds correctly, and you walk them down the 10 steps of the sale and consummate a sale. Now, the dealer is a control freak. I'm a control freak. 8 years ago, I got this idea. 8 years ago, I looked in the mirror and said, I can't be that transparent. You know, I can't be that forthcoming. I want them down on my property, and I want to go face-to-face and negotiate everything. An online transaction, there's no negotiations. It's just really straightforward and clean, and you got to trust the consumer to do the right thing, and you have to do the right thing. So now, as a group in the car business, we've gotten off the price of doing MSRP on new cars, and we're actually online now showing not only our car with 40 or 50 pictures, but we're also giving them a great price up front, you know, best price type approach. So now, you know, we're there now. We have the digital software to do it. We have dealers that have built digital software so that all those things are included in there. And now we have the pricing correct and we have the transparency there. So there's no reason that nothing's there, Herb, to stop us from doing that process and beating Carvana at their own game now. So, but the dealer has to take that step forward. The GM has to take that step forward. The salesperson has to change. It's a complete culture change compared to our normal control-minded TO process that we've built for 50 years with Pat Ryan starting it out. If you think about it, you know, that's how it all started. There was no F&I office 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. It took about 10 to 15 years to get the F&I offices moving in the right direction, selling the right products, getting everybody trained to do it, and then moving forward. So digital retailing is not going to happen this year. Okay. A little bit of it will, but you know, it's probably a 5 to 7 year, 10 year process to get the dealerships to really truly do digital retailing the correct way and have, you know, probably 80% of their car deals go down digitally versus traditional. It's going to be a slow deal. It's, you know how difficult it is just talking to your leaders in your different organization to get them all on the same page.
Sure.
The owner doesn't really think about it. You know, he said, do I want to do this? Do I want to change my model? Right now, my model is really spitting out a lot of profit. Dealerships are very profitable right now. Do you want to risk that or change that? That's the problem. That's what I run into every day. But the more forward-looking dealers are doing it and are doing it very successfully and have great white label applications for their stores. And they are definitely doing 10, 20% of their cars digitally now, 80% traditional, where a year ago they were at zero on the digital and 100% traditional. So you're just going to see that amount of deals go digitally because it is quicker, better, faster. At the end of the day, consumer wants that. At the end of the day, the salesman wants that. They don't really like going in there negotiating everything. The desk managers love it. That's where sure. they thrive,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, all right.
So, but we have to get the desk manager to believe that a customer can just buy best price, actually click through a deal and be done in 30 minutes. And he can preset everything.
Yeah. So you talked about two things that I definitely want to get your perspective on. Number one is going to be the OEM. So let's dive into that. And the other thing is control at the dealership process through the dealership process. So OEMs. So I'm not going to name any names, but I did participate in a webinar recently with one of the top manufacturers in the world, and they have their own digital retailing platform. That's scary to me because that's the manufacturer involved in selling the car. I don't know how. I mean, listen, I don't want to be the what's that called, conspiracy theory person, but that's a step in the wrong direction, in my opinion, if the manufacturer itself has their own tool and they're promoting that to dealerships. What is your thought on that? Do you think that makes the dealerships vulnerable if that's the case, if the OEMs are A, creating their own digital retailing platform, and B, potentially mandating the dealerships to use that particular tool?
All right. Well, the manufacturer is very good at building a car. They really haven't studied on how to sell a car, right? Mm-hmm. I've been doing selling for 40 years. I know every move, every inside, outside, back alley move there is, and to how to market it, how to motivate people to buy, and how to get people to say yes and sign the bottom line. They will never get that. Go talk to, I don't care who you talk to in any OEM, that is not how they think and do business, all right? But that's, everybody's tried at the OEM level to go out and buy stores, right? Think about all the store buying that Ford did, General Motors did. They coughed them all back up to the franchisees. They said, I've had enough of this. I don't want to get beat up anymore. I'm not good at this, okay? And that'd be the same thing that's going to happen with these digital retailing tools. You know, too many OEMs think they can actually build one. You know, it's taken me 8 years. They'll go out and throw a couple million at it and try to build something and throw it out to us, and it doesn't work for the consumer. You know, what works for the consumer is you have to build something, a piece of software that gets the profitability done right, gets the consumer to answer all their questions and actually sells them the car that they want, right? And find all those variables and get them to come on out where the consumer's smiling at the end of the day and the dealership's smiling at the end of the day. Now, the factory's happy also because a car got sold. And that's what they need to do. Right now, I highly suggest the OEMs do dealer choice and then actually look at the products and actually compare them correctly and look for a product that can actually sell a car 24/7, 365, and do it digitally without a human. That's the end game. That's Carvana. That's Amazon Prime, whatever you want to call it. That's what the car dealer needs to have. And right now, that's very, It's not out there. It's, you know, other than web buys as close as it can get, and we don't have e-contracting yet, so we're not complete yet. That's the holy grail. But the OEMs, they're spending a lot of time and effort spinning their wheels. If you think about all the products, Herb, that have been built in digital retailing with BP, Auto Gravity, AutoFi, Roadster, WebBot, and General Motors, Shop, Click, and Drive. Toyota just tried to do something. Honda's trying to do something with Modal. You know, you got about $1 billion has been spent on trying to develop a piece of software that actually sells a car, right? And so think about all that and look at all the failures already. And go try to buy a car. I hate to say this on Shop, Click, and Drive and name one, but it's a disaster. Yeah. Estimating trades, all the things you'll never do at a dealership level, they got them built all the way through their software, and there's pain points, to your point earlier. You don't want pain points. You know, you want to have the right payoff, right? You want to know about the title. You want to know, you want to hit the trade correctly, right? You want to lay down the paper correctly, have your rate spread. You want to be able to get the best price for your car. You want to sell the accessories. You want to sell your protection packages. You know, they don't think all those things out. They think they are. They listen to some people. Then they go and try to build it. They just don't have the knowledge and the determination and the right people to do that. So I'm going to speak boldly there, but I'm just telling you that if you go try to go buy a car in any of those things, you see where all their holes are. And you're in the industry, you know exactly what their holes are at. And yeah. Even Cox, as brave as Cox is and as big as Cox is, they haven't even got close to getting it right.
Okay? Yeah, no.
So let's take a look at true digital retailing tools that are out there that are just digital retailing. They're not chat. They're not website. They're not OEM. They're not lender. You know, they're actually just built to sell a car digitally. That's what WebBuy is. We're all car dealers and car people, and we built the best product out there because of that one definition. We understand exactly what's going on, and we built it accordingly. We've been diligent on all that.
Right on, man. So I don't want to leave this thought yet because there's something there that's not fully clear or fully baked, and I want to explore that. And that's the. You know, do you think that this is a step for manufacturers to get in the middle, get in the way of the dealer and the consumer? Or do you think that they're just the ones that are taking that? Do you foresee that all the manufacturers are going to eventually do that, have their own digital retailing widget like themselves? And is that dangerous? I don't want to be conspiracy theory sort of a deal, but it does concern me a little bit because it's kind of weird, man, to have the manufacturer involved in that aspect of the dealer, you know what I mean, of our business as dealerships.
Well, to answer your question, is just about every manufacturer has gone down that road and tried to build their own tool, try to control it. Most of the time they give up and they just say, okay, let's go do dealer choice and let the market figure it out, right? Let the dealers figure it out. Let the software companies figure it out. Bring the best products. Look at the best CRM system. It wasn't built by an OEM. Look at the best DMS. It wasn't built by an OEM. You know, look at the best website providers. Look at the CRMs. Look at the trade tools. All those things, none of them were built by. They were built by entrepreneurs that saw a need and really went to work on research and actually built the tool like vAuto. You know, think about Pollock. He did an amazing job on that product. And look how many stores it's in now. That's how we do business now. Look at Jonathan Ord with Dealer Socket. They did an amazing job on that. Look at Vin Solutions, you know, the original guys. They were car dealers and people connected to the car business in some way. And then they put all their money into it. They put all their time and energy. And then they got it right, okay? And that's who's going to get it right. General Motors, Ford, Chrysler, Toyota, Honda, I will guarantee you they'll never get it right, and the dealers will never accept what they give them. The dealers know it's not right. They see the holes in it. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll butter them up as much as they can. But at the end of the day, the dealer's the one that has to pay that bill every month, and the dealer has to be responsible for how many cars go out, and the dealer has to make sure he makes enough cash to pay all his bills at the end of the month.
Sure.
And he ain't going to allow lousy software to be doing his deals digitally. And it's so wrong that the OEMs are even trying to tell us to do that or trying to show us how to do it. Just from a, you know, we sell them, they make them.
You make them.
That's simple. Yeah. You know, that's my argument there.
No, I like that. All right. So the next thing I wanted to cover here was control, right? Because I think that there's a lot of resistance in the dealership level to digital retailing because of control, right? There's this, I like to call it, there's a mirage that digital retail, because that's what it is. I mean, that having a digital retailing is going to not allow you to make as much money, or you don't have control of the deal, and all these excuses to, you know, it's all resistance to change. That's that, in my opinion, that's what it is. And I think that we're kind of doing ourselves a disservice in the industry, because although I agree that most of the widgets out there are not fully cooked and fully baked, and that causes issues, it's the future. You know what I mean? That is the future of our business, and we have to kind of get on it now. You know what I'm saying? So what would you say, or what do you say to your to when you're doing presentations on digital retailing to those folks that talk about that? You know, oh, I don't have control of the deal, and I'm not going to make as much money, and you know what I mean? What's your retort?
Well, you've got one of the greatest car guys working in your auto group, Jay, right? And he's a car guy, right? And he's been trained by the best in the industry, and he's an amazing man, great family guy, the whole bit. He's got the whole package. What did he say just the other day when we presented to him? He said, I don't know. I'm going to lose control of this deal. I'm going to lose my protection. I'm going to lose my profit per deal. Mm-hmm. And I said, Jay, that's not the case. I can show you 100 of dealerships where in your control center in digital retailing, if you have a control center that's on steroids like WebBuy, you control the deal. You just preset everything. So you don't have to wait for a desk manager to make that decision one by one, by one customer, by one customer. By doing the presets ahead of time, you actually expand or enhance your profit centers. And then not only that, all your accessories and all your service contract products and so forth are on the 300% rule. You know, you show everybody 100% of what you got 100% of the time to 100% of your people. That's going to get you your maximum closing rate. That's what digital retailing allows you to do. So your accessory sales go up. Your F&I backend can go up, and then you always get another swing at the bat with the humans in the process also. So we've designed our deal to do exactly like you do in the showroom to enhance the dealership's profits, and we've molded our software so each dealership can do it the way they want it. Whatever their secret sauce is, nitrogen in the tires, 2% rate spread.
Let me interject here really quick, Steve. I'm sorry to cut you off, man, but this is important. Because what do you say to those dealers that have like 80% penetration requirements, like some of the dealers that I work with? Like, that's the requirement. If you're not hitting that mark, you can't work in the box. You know what I mean? What's the thought there?
Well, so far, I haven't had anybody call me yet and say, Steve, we didn't hit our number. Not one dealership in hundreds of stores. So we're only controlling about 5 or 10% of the deals right now in digital at the different stores. So we really aren't affecting an 80%, 75% or whatever. And we haven't gone backwards because I've designed it not to go backwards. It's like any piece of software. You have to start with the goals in mind. And our goal was to do a deal at 11 o'clock at night with no humans and then enhance the profit centers and the customer satisfaction of the deal. So that's why we don't have the pain points. We have the automated lien payoff. We have everything's all preset and done by the actual dealer. How they hit the trade-in is formulated accordingly. You know, they're the ones that design which questions, how much dollars, which book they're going to start with, what average auction number they're going to start with. We allow the dealer to do it the way they want to, and that's why we haven't had any issues.
Right on. Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, I've gone through the demo, and it's definitely the most complete version of digital retailing that I see, and especially the banking side of it, the financial side of it, like you said, like you can do that at night sort of a deal and get that far along is pretty cool.
Yeah, we do the F&I deal is on a rifle approach. All we did was mimic what that F&I director or that sales manager does, you know, during the day. And they get to actually set that. So they figure out, based on loan to value, all the things they normally do with credit, where to send it to the proper bank. And we've just built that into our system. So that's why we're so far ahead of everybody, because we've done exactly what dealers do in the showroom. And that's what you have to do to make the Jays of the world happy.
But how do you play to accuracy, right? Because if the whole thing with digital retailing, one of the most frustrating things is that it's not it's based on accuracy of information, and a lot of the times the consumers are assuming, or they make assumptions about where they are as far as their trade and their credit rating and all those things, and based on what they're inputting into the machine, that's what they're going to get out. And what do they do when they go to the dealership and that information isn't correct? You know what I mean? Like how do you balance that? How do you measure that?
Well, in ShopClick and Drive, you can actually estimate what your trades were. So if you think it's worth 15, you can just put that number in there, right? And so now you got a heat problem. So when they show up at the dealership and their ACV is only $12,200, you got a problem. Mm-hmm. We've engineered our whole system so you don't have those pain points. But you have to think about that when you're building the software up front, or you're going to create pain point after pain point after pain point, which is what you're talking about, and inaccuracies. Now, our software 3 years ago would not get a buyer's order close within $100, okay? And it took us a lot of working in our control center, in our data management provider, to be able to get the tax title license right in all 50 states and all municipalities. But we have that now. But it took all the guys on the ground that allowed us to pilot our program. Here's a shout out to Harry over there with Haley Automotive in Virginia. He's relentless. He's a detail guy, like to the max. And he just worked over my team time and time again. And my son, who's the product manager, had to build the software and mold it so we could get it to the penny perfect. Here's another deal. I had John Grant's kid over in Las Vegas. He calls me and says, hey,
Las Vegas.
There you go. That's right. So he had to write me I had to write him a check for $600 because we were off on our tax title license on a car deal, right? Well, I went over there and talked to Eric. I said, what was the difference? Da, 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 da. Oh, I can build that. So we built that. Now I don't
have to write. Wait, you talked to who? Eric Simonis?
Yeah, Eric Simonis. Oh, awesome.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
He's a homie. But he's given me like 23 ideas in WebBuy. That's one of the reasons why we're so far ahead. We're like the Wikipedia of car dealers. Great guys like Eric, Harry, I can name you 25 guys across the country that are early adopters of this type of software that helped us mold this so that it actually works correctly. That's what these OEMs don't understand. They don't communicate to us. Mm-hmm. They just tell us to use it. It's going to work. And then when you go use it, it doesn't work and it doesn't convert and it doesn't close. We're a converter. We're a closer because that's who I am. I've been closing deals for 40 years. One of the best in the business. That's how I got to where I'm at. And we built our software to close people.
Right on, man. So I want to talk about that. I want to take the next 15, 20 minutes here before we wrap things up to talk about about WebBuy per se, you know, because I want the people that are listening, especially the decision makers, to really understand why this is a different product. But before we get into that, give us your perspective as a user, because you use it at your stores and your numbers are pretty impressive as far as people actually using it and closing deals. And I have to assume that that's not just because you're one of the founders, but it's because you've implemented it, you use it, you've made it a part of the process and the culture of the dealership. And that's what makes ultimately all the difference. Because listen, it's a widget, it's a tool, right? If we don't use it properly, we don't implement it correctly, it's not going to work. It's just, there's no way. So talk to us about that side of things as a user.
Yeah, you have to get buy-in from your team, right? And they got to trust you too, because they have their set system. That's how they get their 10 deals out for the month. And if they don't get their 10 sales, they can't pay for the baby formula and their rent or their home payment or whatever, right? So you don't want to steer them wrong either. So you better make sure you know your software that you're implementing and that it works, and that you get the backup from the company, the Jim Hewishes, to come in and train and do the things that are necessary. But we have gotten the software now, and it didn't happen. We went in last year at this time and went in with WebBuy into our Subaru store. And we tried to do deals in the showroom You know, if the person started digitally online, they could finish digitally in the showroom, or they could just start the deal digitally in the showroom and versus our traditional way. Well, there were like six or eight things. Every time we got to certain pieces, we couldn't go forward. The software wasn't ready, you know. So our product manager came in, interviewed the sales managers, the GSMs, the salespeople, the consumers, and got the 10 things that necessary to build it. Took us about 6 months to build those improvements into our software. We got it done, and now it's slick. So this one lady, you'll love this, Herb. She goes, I have bought 5 cars in your showroom, and it takes me at least 2 hours every time to negotiate and get through the numbers and so forth. And here, we did it in 32 minutes. And why did it do that, Steve? I don't understand. How'd you get me done so quickly? I said, we've automated the sales process. You don't have to wait for the guy up at the desk eating his cheeseburger, making his phone call, going back to the service department, taking care of the heat, and then actually taking the time to make a decision on the price and the payment and where to send it to. All that's been automated. And so it just goes whoop, boop, 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 and you got yourself a car deal. She loved it, is my point. But she noticed the difference, and she was just a little 55-year-old lady that wasn't that sophisticated. She just came up to me and asked that dumb question, why did it only take us 32 minutes this time? Through right. automation. So the process actually works now. Nobody else has figured that out in the showroom that I'm aware of. I think the shops over there in Denver are getting close to it. They've done a nice job working really hard on this. But the Galpins of the world, the Brian Benstocks of the world, they're working with inadequate software that doesn't do it, and they're running into headaches. So that's they're reaching out to us right now. So I just good things are happening, and I think at the end of the day, there's going to be 2 or 3 tools that actually get the job done correctly, and they'll fight for the business, and the rest of the tools will kind of go away because they're inadequate.
Is WebBuy the tool for all dealers, you think? All 20,000 plus?
Yeah. Well, see, you got to remember, we're a white label application, so we don't use the word WebBuy when the consumer's looking at it. It's just powered by WebBuy. So, you know, everybody can use our tool, and quite frankly, most people are now. If they have 10 stores and 10 different brands, we're in them all. You know, so we're doing that one button, one control center for the COO, the CEO, so he can see what's going on. All the numbers roll up into one number, you know, so with our digital performance reporting. So it can be. We have to be in, yeah, we have to have the OEM permission and we have to have the lender permission. And right now we're in our partner in the deals, Route One, and DealerTrax also now our partner. So depending upon which way on the F&I piece, we've got that. We're just putting AIS in our incentives and rebates, which are very accurate and up to date and have the money on the hood for the Chevy dealers and the Chrysler dealers, Ford dealers. So we're working really hard to make sure the right data goes into our right data partners and the right data goes into our system. We're working really hard to make sure all the little things that the car dealer likes to do are able to do that in our deal. So I think the reason why we're being more successful than everybody is that we're allowing the dealer to do their business the way they normally do it in the showroom. And we finally got to the point where we're penny perfect. So it's taken a long time to get there, but we've built all the things to do it.
Steve, let me ask you something here before we kind of move on here to talk about. I want to take the last 10 minutes or so to talk about WebBuy specifically. But answer me this question, man. You're a car guy. You own dealerships. Why did you do this? Why did you go down this route? What did you see that was missing and what inspired you to kind of take on this challenge?
Wow. Tough question. I don't know. I got 7 kids at the house. I saw how easy they researched, reviewed, and bought things. And then I look at how clumsy our process is, taking 3 to 5 hours in a dealership. And I just said, there's a better way to do business. And I have confronted everybody, General Motors, all the data providers, everybody. And everybody's been trying to block me from getting this done. No, it has not come easy. I'm a hard head. I'm very persistent, determined. And I just keep busting through all the barriers. And, you know, all the data has come available now in a digitized process. Amazon Web Services is coming out with their new Lambda server, which is 18 times faster. All the things that you need, it's finally there to actually build that tool correctly. And I just have a great desire, a great passion to allow the consumer to have a quicker, better, faster way to buy a car. That's been my passion now for 8 years, and it's finally really coming close to where we can do it. And it's really exciting, actually. And now, because of COVID, the dealers are listening a whole lot more, and the consumers want it a whole lot more. And because of Carvana and everybody, you know, it's actually happening now. So, but anyway, as far as the cardio, I didn't need to do this. You know, I got, you know, I do great, you know, but I would like it to be the best.
That's awesome, dude. I think that that's why it's different. You know, that's why I think that's why it's different. And one of the reasons why I wanted to have you guys on the program and have this conversation about digital retailing with you, because you're a car guy, you own stores, and you have this tool that was done from you guys, you know what I mean? Based on processes and procedures and knowing the car business, the dealership side of it. So, all right, man. So let's talk about WebBuy. Tell us why WebBuy? What's different? Why is it awesome? Let us know.
All right. It's built by car dealers. It's funded by car dealers. It's created by car dealers. It's for car dealers, you know, to sell cars quicker, better, faster. You got to get that point across. It's dealer centric. You know, a lot of applications come in from the F&I department, like Darwin. Others come in from the manufacturer standpoint, Shop, Click, and Drive. Others come in from the finance, like AutoFi. We're not coming in from an angle. We came in from the direct angle of selling a customer a car digitally, starting online, finishing in the showroom, or starting in the showroom and finishing online. So we're 365, you know, 24/7. We're just that's the difference in WebBuy. Now the other thing is that we've been doing it for 8 years. The other guys have been doing it for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever. We just got more time on the job. Our software's got more lines of code and better thinking. And that's why you said it correctly. The name of our company is Complete, by the way, you know, so Complete LLC, doing business as WebBuy. And that's the idea was originally, let's be a complete solution. And my co-founding partner, Tom Murray, used to run car dealerships. He started the same time I did selling cars, moved up the ladder. So both of us have earned our stripes going all the way up to the top. He went to the top of the Pat Ryan organization, Aon, and ran that organization selling service contracts to all the dealerships across the country. He gets it. His biggest client was CarMax. He saw how they did their deals digitally. He said, let's try to bring car dealers, franchises, and everybody in together and be able to do this. He's been relentless on making sure it works. He's been relentless to make sure it's well thought out. He's been relentless on making sure you at the dealership level have the performance reports necessary to say, hey, it's working. You can see the visitors. You can see the conversion. You can see the accounts created. You can see the leads sold. You can see the trades that come in back in a deal. We're trying to prove to you that, you know, it works. And the only way, you got to trust us. Let us into the dealership. Let us install it. And then let's move forward. But WebBuy has got the best team. Every 85% employee owned. You know, think about that.
Yeah.
All those other deals are not 85% employee owned. They're 85% private venture capitalists. And what's wrong in the software business, and you saw this at Cox, is that the second the guy gets the thing working, right? And then someone comes in and buys it for 100, 200 million, and all the bright minds leave. Okay. And all the work ethic goes away. And then it's slammed into a big company with a bunch of people. And it really struggles from that point forward. That's not WebBuy. I've been in it for 8 years. We got, everybody's got huge sweat equity in the deal, and we're looking for the long term. We want to get to, you know, 10,000 stores on the system and move it forward from there.
So let's talk about maybe a hard question. I would consider it to be one, but I feel that one of the advantages of digital retailing is that it's transparent, right? Or it's supposed to play on the transparency portion of it. And so with that, I have to ask, man, what is not good about WebBuy? Tell us the stuff that it's that, you know, you want to improve on, that you think that, you know, there's another iteration, there's an upgrade, there's a 2.0 version that's going to include those things.
All right. Thanks. That's a good lead. And I don't know if that was a softball or a hardball there. So the answer is speed. You know, you got so much going on in the background, it needs to load quickly. And we didn't have an answer for that. So a year ago, our head CTO, Steve Demock, said, hey, we've been looking, watching this new Lambda program at Amazon Web Services. I think this is our ticket. It's our opportunity to redesign all of WebBuy from a desktop, which we did like 3-4 years ago, to the actual mobile. So one of the problems we've got is that it's a desktop being, you know, down moved into the iframe, you know, of a iPhone. So here we designed it with the iPhone in mind and the Android, which is great. Mobile first design is called. And then we're on this new Lambda server. Listen to this. It's a serverless API. I'm not sure how all that works, but it's 18 times faster than our current loading system. Sure. And it is, so those are the two problems you got with WebBuy right now. It doesn't load quite as quick as I'd like to see it. And then it's desktop designed originally. So both of those go away. Now we can upload all sorts of documents quickly and efficiently, especially for STIPs, you know, whatever needs to be done on the loan. And then we also added dealer track instead of just having Route 1. So those have been our negatives. We overcome all three of them. WebBuy 2.0 is up and working on a dealer.com website right now, and it's being rolled out to our stores over the next 30 days. So really exciting times for WebBuy. While everybody else is still building their first version, we have built our second version already and rolling it out.
That's awesome. All right, so last question here, and then I'll let you tell us how people can connect to do a demo and all those things. But I wanted to talk about we kind of mentioned this already, but you know, if we can kind of dive deep in a little bit more, DocuSign sort of a situation, the future. Why isn't that available? If you can buy a house like that, why can't you buy a car? Like what's holding us back?
Yeah, the banks mainly, and then the states with their not allowing some documents to be DocuSigned. I see that going away over the next 12 months. The technology's there to do it. Route 1 has improved their technology. Now they can do a deal online as well as in the showroom, you know, on e-contracting. DealerTrack just came out with theirs also. So in DocuSign, you can use DocuSign right now. I saw a very smart dealer the other day that's got WebBuy in their showroom that did a deal digitally because they bought their own software and they sent that out themselves. It wasn't integrated with WebBuy, but they, because it was uploaded in their DMS, they could just take it out of their DMS and shoot it off. And it's there now. Like California wouldn't even let you do a digital deal, you know, and the right. Governor right now looking at the new law to change that. So a little bit of state government's in the way. A little bit of Department of Motor Vehicles still in the way. And then I don't think the technology's not there now. DocuSign's there now, everything. Yeah. And you can see how easy it is. So now us digital retailing guys have to decide. We have our end game as far as having the Holy Grail done. And I think we're all breaking through that. And there may be one paper that the customer has to sign manually, you know, whatever that may be.
So is it fair to say that once those hurdles are cleared, technology-wise, it'd be pretty simple to add into the WebBuy experience, into the digital retailing experience?
It is, yeah. There's no issue from a technology standpoint why we can't produce that. It's mainly been banks and all sorts of other things that have been stopping us. And the technology's there. Just like I mentioned, it's taken a long time. You know, if you think about 13 years ago, a Chrysler guy came to me and said, let's get e-contracting done, right? And then 12 years, 11 years, 10 years, 9 years, 8 years, 7 years. Then that guy died, okay? And he's a good man, but he did die about 5 years ago. Oh, but man. Now his vision of 13 years ago is actually going to come true. Just like my vision 8 years ago, you know, to digitally retail a car, it's happening in hundreds of stores, all different franchises, all great dealers across the country right now. And it's really cool to see. So we're just at the very, very infant stage, Herb, very, very infant stage of digital retailing. Think about what it's going to look like 5 years from now or 10. It's going to be amazing. So you're going to see most deals go digitally, and a few old guys will continue to do traditional.
That's awesome, man. Steve Sabawa, everybody. Thank you so much for doing this, dude. This is episode 1 of season 5. So thank you so much, dude. I wanted to kick this thing off with a bang. And this has been a great conversation. I've learned a bunch. I hope that the listeners have learned as well. And so with that, tell us how we can set up a demo, how we can get in touch with you guys. Like, you know, give us the lowdown. And then also, by the way, as usual, if you're watching this on my YouTube channel, go to the description of the video and the information will be in there. And if you're listening to this, go to the show notes on your podcast app and the information will be there for you. Steve, take it away, man.
Yeah, big shout out to Dealer Talk today. So thank you, Herb, for having us on. And this has been very exciting. It's been a great talk, good discussion here. As far as WebBuy, go to WebBuy.com. Real simple, WebBuy.com, and you can put in for a demo. And I'll be happy, my co-founding partner and I will be happy to give you an hour demo at any time this next week or 2 weeks. And just put your information in, and we'll reach out to you and show you what it's all about. We'll also give you dealers that are actually using it right now, like Auto Fair and New up in the New Hampshire area. They got 7 wonderful stores on. You go to Red McCombs down in San Antonio, take a look at it. We just got great dealers all across the country that are doing it. And we'll give you those guys so you can go study it on their websites to see what it would look like on yours.
Right on. There you go, folks. And by the way, like, Steve's actually on the demos. He's doing the demos himself. I'm proof of that. I can testify to it. He does it. He's good. So make sure to reach out, schedule it. You're going to get it straight from a car guy. So anyway, dude, thank you so much. I really appreciate you doing this deal with me, man.
All right. It's been wonderful. Thanks. Have a great day.
Hey, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I really appreciate season 5, episode 1. Thank you so much for all the support. Go to the show notes for the information on how to hook up with WebBuy and Steve. Do a demo. Check it out. Come to your own conclusions. But I'm telling you, as far as digital retailing is concerned, this is the real deal. It's the most advanced version that I've seen so far. And ultimately, when you're trying to sell a car online, that's what you want. You want to be able to deliver that experience to your customers every single time. Thanks again for tuning in. We really appreciate it. And as usual, we'll talk later.
We only host the well-respected. The vendor Lexus Nexus. We don't sell digital marketing.
What you do?
We inspect it with our DT vendor management solutions. We come in like the EPA to clear out the pollution.
Take the trash out.
Go keep your P&L clean. Your inventory.
Hello. Thank you so much for checking out this episode. Make sure to go to the show notes, check out the information, and don't forget to hit the subscribe button.
From product pitches, meetings, to cost negotiations, your vendors have you swamped. You have cars to sell, but most of your time goes in managing your vendor relationships. Wouldn't it help to have someone navigate the way ahead? Enter Dealer Talk Vendor Management Solutions. A filter between you and your vendor so you only have to deal with what's most important. We inspect your digital data to get optimum results for your money. Here's what we do. Give you an accurate idea of what's working and what's not for every digital service. Get vendors to submit monthly highlights, lowlights, and recommendations. Sift through their data to give you those metrics that matter. Evaluate all package, content, or cost changes and product pitches. Do monthly marketing budget analysis to ensure better ROIs. Finally, we give you concise reports and monthly videos with actionable insights. Now, you can focus on what really matters, selling cars. Contact us today and your first 30 days are free. Let's build your business together.